What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Widow Wednesday, January 17th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Mr. Star Wars himself, Gary Widow.
Always a pleasure.
How are you?
I'm good.
How I was telling you? You off camera. I'm great. Thank you for asking. Nobody ever does, you know?
Except I think Andrea, people just assume you are doing great all the time.
But I'm like, then I'm like the clown. You know,
is it like Pagliacci kind of? Tears of a clown.
Exactly. I was telling you off camera, I feel like we haven't done this in a long time. And I guess I missed you last Wednesday.
It was just the one week, wasn't it?
But it was that, but then we were...
The holidays.
We had come back from break, I think, done the show. I was away last week, and I'm not in my Widow Wednesday routine, you know what I mean?
Well, we're getting back into it now. That's what's important.
It's good to see you
again. What are you doing? What is that?
Hold your hand. It's good to see you again.
All right, okay.
Very cold. Well,
I do like this look.
Yeah, you haven't seen the new Stitch Fix sweater that I'm not wearing.
So this isn't a passing fancy. This is it? This is the new look?
Well, here's the thing, is that... I get the Stitch Fix boxes. Again,
that's what this is?
They're not paying us anymore.
Okay.
But I still pay them for the clothes.
Is it one of the things they ship you a box of clothes and you have them for a while and then you send them back?
No, if you don't like it, you send it back.
Okay.
But I got this sweater and I was like, oh, that's a nice look. Wore it on the show, liked it a lot. And then a cold snap in the office where I'm usually always hot, but I've been cold lately. As evident by my hand. Touch my hand again. See how cold that is?
It is.
The fingertips
are
freezing.
It's cold.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been wearing the sweater with my normal collared shirts underneath it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking good.
And the beard, and it goes well with the beard as well.
It does go well with the beard. Yeah, the beard's coming in
it's
fine.
It's a good look. Yeah, you look very literate, you know, erudite.
Finally.
Yeah. Urbane.
I'm glad I'm hiding it.
Yeah. You look like a you know, kind of a Renaissance man, a man of culture.
Thank you. I like that a lot. You know what I mean?
Just goes to show how deceptive
appearances
can be.
Let's make some fart jokes here on Kinda Funny Games Daily. If you didn't know, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about before answering all your questions, comments, concerns, and new segments over at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. I can't stress that enough. Be part of the show right into our Google form, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You can watch the show as we record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames if the internet's working, which it is today, right, Kev?
Yep.
Yeah, you lower the bitrate. Don't forget about that. If you're watching live, though, you have a job. You need to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you today. We're brought to you by kindoffunny.com/store. There's a new hoodie up there. You can go order it, pre-order it, actually. And then it's actually kind of confusing, I guess, because I think I got my notification that it shipped, which is earlier than when it was supposed to ship. But I think they're only selling smalls right now, the hoodie, because they just ordered more because it was such a runaway success because you're awesome. But there's other stuff on kindoffunny.com/store. I'll talk about it later. For now, let's begin the show with the Roper Report. I like keeping you on your toes, Kev.
That was... Like, I mean, I understood what was happening, but I didn't like it.
You want me to do it again?
Yeah.
For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! Four items on the Roper Report!
A baker's dozen!
Are you okay?
You're
usually giving me what I call the Gary Whitta eye, but even right now, it seems like I'm getting a lot of Gary Whitta eye.
Like a stink eye, side eye kind of thing? Really?
I'm on to you, Whitta.
I mean, I took it as my, you and I didn't discuss, like, I remember when I first came onto the show, there was no, like, you didn't say, okay, I need you to be like this or that.
You just let me kind of be you.
Be me.
Yeah.
And being me involves usually kind of giving you some grief.
Okay, just making sure we're on the same page.
But, you know, I don't always, that's like, yeah, when necessary, sure. Like, when you go on your trophy kick or whatever, I've got to step in and
I'm gonna get you.
Speak reason.
How many platinums you got right now under your belt?
I wouldn't know because
we're getting you a platinum in 2018. That's
I don't think thing. I have any. I think I probably have like a handful of trophies.
Yeah, but we're
and they're probably
platinum,
like mostly bronze, like completed the tutorial type trophies.
Sure. Do you still got a PS3?
Do I what?
Do you still have a PlayStation 3?
Not plugged in. It's in the closet.
Get it out. Update the firmware.
Yeah.
Hannah Montana, a very easy platinum. 2 hours. Your daughter would love to watch you play.
This
you,
is exactly.
You get a horse?
What I'm talking is this something you have done?
Oh yeah, I sent the game to Shuhei Yoshida to get him his first platinum, and he did it. His daughters loved it.
You played the Hannah Montana game on PS3,
That's right.
Did you have to reconnect your PS3 to do this?
Oh no, this is back in the day.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Was it like the equivalent? What was it like the Avatar Airbender game on Xbox?
Sadly, it wasn't that good. If you want a game on that level,
that was the one that was like just
get your 1,000
chivos.
Yeah, you just banged on A or X, whatever it was. Yeah.
It's not that easy.
No. I mean, yeah, because that's too fast. Energy cycles, that you could do that. That's a pretty fast platinum.
But we've talked about this before. You know, it's play the game first because it's fun, and the trophies are a bonus. You've got it backwards. You will play desperately non-entertaining, grueling, unfun, repetitive, boring, bad games just because you want the
you
trophies.
You say I've got it backwards. What I like to think is that on my gravestone it'll be written, Greg Miller, he had fun at both ends. You know what I mean?
Will like, will it have your trophies on it? I would thought your tombstone will have your trophies.
Kevin, 100%, that's a great point. Thank you. If I die and PlayStation trophies are still a thing, I want my PSN thing on there. You know what I mean? With everything.
Yeah, and probably like you would want like the platinum and gold and silver and bronze to like be properly.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. You know. I want it to be that you like basically take a photo of or you know screenshot high res screenshot of my.
I'm thinking
PSN
like a nice like bas relief. You know, like a nice sculpted relief of the trophies with the final numbers kind of carved in there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. A life well lived.
Yeah. Well, no, Greg Miller had fun at both ends. Because you see, he thinks I'm doing it. Doesn't matter. First story! Nintendo is up to some shit. Today they put out a little thing with the date. 1/17/2018. It says at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. Tune in to discover a new interactive experience for Nintendo Switch that's specially crafted for kids and those who are kids at heart. YouTube.com/Nintendo. Of course, many of you watching this on YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames or listening later on podcast services around the globe will already know what this is. We're in this weird dead
zone. The timing
zone.
Is very frustrating for this,
it's,
isn't it?
It's annoying.
Because we're doing it, we finished right before this goes live.
Right.
And so the majority,
we wrap up at one-ish.
I know people are listening to us live now, but for most people that will be listening to the podcast or watching on YouTube later,
yeah.
They're news. Now hearing us speculate about things that they already know. Mm-hmm. And they'll be able to see like just in real time just how wrong our predictions are.
Exactly. This is a time capsule. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I will kick it over to Lee, also known as Lethal Arrow, who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hello, KFGD. So here we are again. Nintendo has now announced an announcement that will be announcing something. Granted, it's going to be live today at 2 p.m., but with Kinda Funny Games Daily coming before it, what do you think it will be? The Nintendo graphic says it's for kids or those who are kids at heart. Also, the Animal Crossing developer retweeted the announcement, which they have only done when it pertains to them. Now, I'm guessing another Animal Crossing Amiibo Party style game. But Nintendo is saying a new interactive experience. So what are your thoughts? And thank you." I had zero thoughts when I saw this morning. I saw people kicking around vitality sensors and stupid things like that again.
Oh, the thing that went on the finger?
Yeah,
that's never
like,
coming
yeah,
back.
Like, I don't think that's what it was. I think it was them joking, but it was interesting. And then Tim Getty's over there, Nintendo fanboy number one.
Yeah, what did he say?
You were there. He was on the dark web, 4chan.
Oh.
And what he had come back with was a rumor that they're doing something like Legos called Nintendo Pixel Bits. And they'll look like the Amiibos, the 8-bit Link and the 8-bit Mario Amiibos.
So he's brought this back from the deep web bullshit
this is
corners
where
of the
gone,
internet.
He's
okay,
gone dark
right.
web on us to find that. That sounds realistic that they would be somehow put into the game or put around it or a board game based around the Switch. But
you think it's going to be some physical thing?
It sounds like it, right? From what they're talking about.
Doubling down on Amiibos? Like build your own Amiibos
I mean,
or
the
something?
Interactive experience to me spells, yeah, this is not going to be just a video game. It's somehow, I think, outside of what we expect.
I don't think interactive experience necessarily means that there's like a real world component. It just means it's like a thing that's not a game, but it's an interactive, you know,
sandbox, or
something.
Sure. Yeah. Maybe it's PUBG.
Yeah.
For kids and kids at heart. Yeah. With the success Nintendo has seen from Amiibos, I could see them still being like, well, let's try to get more juice out of this Toys to Life business that everybody else is failing.
I mean, I'm interested that it seems to be aimed specifically at kids, something that my kid's going to be into. If she gets to build and create things, she'll like that.
Sure.
But who knows? I mean, you know, who knows? Again, let's not spend too much time on it everybody knows by the time they're hearing
exactly.
This.
So we'll see if Tim's journey into the dark web where he saw some things.
But this came out of nowhere, right? This was separate from the mini direct and everything else.
Correct, but this was rumored that something else was rumbling, that there's something was going to be going on eventually.
All right, well, we'll find out soon enough.
Yep. Instead, let's jump over to Eurogamer, who has reported that Fable is coming back. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, Gary Witta. This is something most chefs don't, you know, expose themselves and what they're doing in the kitchen.
I would hope not.
But what I've done here today that I like and I'm going to keep doing is put the headlines in all caps. I hate that. Don't do that. The headlines are all caps. It gets me excited when I read them.
Has it not always been that way?
No, I never did. I used title case before.
I actually,
but I'm switching it up.
I was going to talk to you about that. Please don't do that.
Fable is coming back via Eurogamer. Work is underway on a brand new big budget Fable game Eurogamer can reveal. Fable franchise owner Microsoft has tasked UK developer Playground, which makes the Forza Horizon racing games for Xbox and PC, with creating this new Fable. Sources close to the project have told Eurogamer. Microsoft said in a statement it does not comment on rumor or speculation. We've heard the new Fable is planned as a story and character-focused open-world action RPG. A significant investment in its development is also planned, with some 200 people set to work on the game at Playground's newly established second office in Leamington Spa. You ever been there?
It's no, but I know how it's pronounced.
Good. What's this next one then?
Warwickshire.
Well, why's it got all the E on at the end of it? Why are you just leaving those?
What?
They're using letters there, right?
What do you mean?
Warwickshire.
Warwickshire.
But then it's got.
You don't say Warwickshire.
That's say, how I would just, say it.
In the same way that you don't say, like, the way that you people say, like, Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah. We just shove it all together.
Yeah.
There's too much going on there.
Yeah. Warwickshire.
Too much going on there. All right, fine. Warwickshire. It's set to live once again. Don't expect to play the new Fable anytime soon, however. We've heard it's early days in terms of development, with Playground currently staffing up the team from double digits to its triple digit target. Microsoft's decision to return to the much-loved fantasy world of Albion. I played Fable, but I don't remember the name of this place. Mm-hmm. Comes less than 2 years after it shut down Fable creator Lionhead and canceled Fable Legends. Fable Legends, unlike previous Fable games, was designed as a free-to-play games as a service with a heavy focus on multiplayer. More on how that went down. Check out this football. I jumped ahead a bit here, too, because it's an extensive article from Eurogamer. Good job on them. They later on say, Ex-Lionhead staff Eurogamer spoke with said they were excited to see
That's Playground, a clumsy sentence construction, isn't it?
I know, right? Bring Fable back from the dead, but this excitement is tempered somewhat by sadness that Lionhead was never given the chance to make its own dream Fable 4. Quote, I have slightly mixed feelings, Fable co-creator Simon Carter told Eurogamer. On the one hand, it's great for the UK games industry and very pleasing that Fable isn't dead. Indeed, it would be lovely to play one as a punter without coming out in hives. What's a punter?
Just a customer.
Okay. And he's not coming out in hives because he didn't make the game. I'm caught up now. On the other hand, it is a little curious to get rid of the team that is uniquely expert in making Fable and then try and make Fable. Fable is a weird game and a tough one to deconstruct for a new team. That said, the team in question is very talented and I'm sure they'll do a fantastic job.
Do you think he's a little annoyed that he wasn't asked to be a part of this new game?
I'm super annoyed.
Reading between the lines.
Right. Like. I mean, that's got to be a heartbreak of something Lionhead had been making Fable forever, right? I'm sure the Fable Legends game they got underway with was something that Microsoft was interested in, right? Games as a service. Let's see how you guys can do this and what it looks like. Let's apply it. And then it just never connected with anybody. I remember McCaffrey coming back from previews of that at IGN. And I was just being like, it's not Fable. It's something else. Why are they doing this? What's going on?
Right. And that game did not see the light of day.
No, when the studio went down, it went down with them.
Okay.
And so, yeah, now they're going back to what people want from Fable, but you assume that Simon wanted to make that as well. Because he's at Lionhead, the studio that's known for making Fable. He probably was like, well, I would have rather made that, but you wanted me to make Fable.
Yeah, you'd think you'd at least bring someone like that in as a consultant or something, advisory role.
You want to restart everything, right? Give some new juice.
I guess. I mean, I'm glad. If this rumor is true, and I was on the IGN Unlocked podcast last week where this rumor, I think, had just broken at the time, or it was in the air supply that maybe this news was coming, and you know, I was excited about it. I'm excited about the idea. I loved the first two Fable games. I didn't play the more recent ones because it seemed like they were kind of going off the boil a little bit.
Sure.
But the first two, I mean,
some
of my happiest Xbox memories were spent in Albion and playing Fable, and I love that whole kind of game, that kind of Molyneux type game where you can theoretically kind of do whatever you want and get married and
here's your dog.
Yeah, and here's your dog
around.
And your dog remembers everything you ever did and you can live this whole parallel life inside of a video game. You know, I love all of that stuff. And, you know, as a Brit, Fable is one of the most uniquely British, like it really is where it's Britishness on its sleeve. I mean, like they really got into kind of the more Python-esque humor in the later games.
Yeah.
And I love all of that. The only caveat is, this new developer, and you know, if it was the original team, I'd probably be slightly more optimistic. Not to say these guys can't do a great job, but like Forza Horizon to this, I mean, that's a bit of a sharp right turn, isn't it?
Sure. We saw Guerrilla do it, right? From Killzone to jumping into making Horizon.
Yeah, sure. And the weird thing is, I'm interested to know what the focus is going to be. You know, you and I, of course, have talked many times about the perceived danger to single player game type experiences, yep, and story based experiences. Is that, you know, the Fable games are always unapologetically that. There wasn't, yep, much, if any, multiplayer component. It was a straight on single player deep dive into a not a linear, but a single player focused story world. And now we are in the world of games as service. They took one stab at it before, they didn't work out. I would say, though, I don't want to kind of tempt fate here, but I kind of feel like if there was one universe where the living world games as a service, you know, you're in that world and it feels kind of like MMO-ish,
yeah,
I feel like Fable would be a good world for that.
See, I would think they'd go the opposite. I think they would stick. I, you know what? I want to kick it to Shane and talk. Let Shane talk for a second. Shane writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, just like you can and should, and says, "Hey, Greg and Gary, with the rumor of a new Fable game, only one question came to mind. Does it matter? I'm a big Fable fan, but I do not think it's enough. Shouldn't Microsoft be focusing on developing new IPs? Fable was never as big as Halo and Gears, and even their cash is waning. Threw me off there. Sorry, Shane. That was on me, not you. Should Microsoft even bother with a Fable? And if the rumor is true, do you see it being a traditional Fable game or a spinoff? Thanks for the great work, guys. Shane." I think it matters because, you know, when we talk about Xbox, when you look back at it, it's been this thing, well, like, where are the exclusives? What are the reasons to own this console outside, yeah, of it being super powerful?
And there are fewer and fewer every day.
And I think that there hasn't been a Fable game in a long time.
When was the last one?
I don't know. Kevin, can you give me a find out? Thanks,
Was it The Journey? Was it Fable The Journey, that weird spinoff that they did?
I don't know. I lost after Fable 2. I for some reason stopped paying attention. Really,
I liked. Yeah, that was when I know there was a Fable 3, and I played a bit of it, but it didn't really stick. Let's see, Fable Fortune. What the hell?
Fable Fortune in 2017. I have no idea.
Fable The Journey 2012. Fable 3 was 2010. So it looks like The Journey was the last one. What the hell is Fable Fortune?
Fable Fortune. Click on Fable Fortune. I don't know what that is.
I think it's a card game.
Yeah, I know they took some of the tavern games. Yeah.
Free to play game on Steam.
Oh, it looks like a card game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Trying to get that Hearthstone money.
Yeah.
It's a franchise that I think has been dormant for a long time, in that when you saw people backlash against Fable Legends, it was the fact that, well, this isn't Fable. This isn't what that is. But also, they had 3 games of Fable the way they expected it or what they wanted from it.
Yeah.
And we had all waned and not cared as much about it.
Yeah.
I think bringing it back and saying, hey, everybody, we've heard you. Here's a new Fable for you. It's from a brand new development team, but it's true to the roots of, this is a single player story. We are making a single player game that we want you. I think you see the success of Horizon. I bet Microsoft's seen that as well.
Yeah.
And would be like, we're making a game that you can only get on your Xbox or play anywhere. But that is, hey, what is a counterbalance to what the third parties that we work with are making games as services.
Yeah, and I think Shane here is right that, you know, Fable, I don't think, was ever as big as Halo or Gears, mm-hmm, but there was always a lot of affection for it, as I recall. I certainly had. I mean, it was the original Xbox, and I loved it, that first game. I've always loved that Molyneux-esque, you know, that just kind of go
live in this world,
live in this world, get immersed, and I kind of hope it is what I think it is, and the argument that should they be developing new IPs, it's not as big as this or the other. One of the things I would argue in favor of Fable is that if you think about the single platform exclusives that you want to have, you want to try to have an array and mix a number of genres. Halo and Gears kind of overlap. I mean, they're different kind of games, but they are both kind of gritty space shooters.
And they're both games, both franchises we've gotten a lot of.
Right.
We've gotten, and I think that's
we've
why
had our fill.
That's why Halo, the most recent Halo and Gears, they did well.
7 or 8 Halo games now.
But they didn't sell units to an astronomical level. They didn't set the world on fire in terms of it being an event. I think if you were, again, a ways out, we're still probably 2 years away from getting this Halo game. I think coming out and, hey, look at this single player game we've put up, and this, where our commitment to single player games and our commitment to exclusives and our commitment to
and a commitment to their own legacy as well. I would say I'm always a fan when they find ways to kind of resurrect, fan favorite games that have been, gathering dust for a while.
Have you heard this rumor about a new Perfect Dark?
I've heard that too. Yes.
Yeah. I'm interested to see if that. That's one where I'm like, Tim got all excited when it got mentioned. I was like, does that one matter? Because Perfect Dark was Perfect Dark.
Well, so the original Perfect Dark was on
N64.
N64, and then Perfect Dark Zero was Xbox one of the kind of the ill-fated 360 launch titles. Yeah. It was not considered one of the better titles.
Yeah. But that one is like, oh, that's interesting. I don't think there's the affinity and love for Perfect Dark multiplayer on N64. But like, I think Fable has more cash than that. I think Fable will resonate more, and people will pay more attention to that because it does seem like a game people do love right now.
I do think that at the end of the day, I think Microsoft should be developing new IPs, but I do think that they are not. One of the things I like about Fable potentially coming back is I don't think they have done enough to service the IPs that they do have. Again, Fable and Gears, yes, they keep churning them out because those are considered the main ones.
Yeah.
The Forza games, obviously, they've got the driving section nicely cordoned off. Yeah. But like, what's happening on the fantasy side? Fable is that. That's their fantasy pillar.
Yeah.
And it's been, you know, crumbling for a while. And I've always liked that kind of game. I hope it is what we think it is. It's another big, full fat Fable game with all the kind of the craziness and organic world evolution that was a big part of the original game.
Go hire everyone who worked on Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning and put them on this game, and then some story people too. But goddamn, Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning. You ever play that one?
No.
Oh, so good.
What was that on?
That was PS3 and Xbox 360. Okay. Probably PC too, but it was from 38 Studios.
Never played it.
Kurt Schilling studio from Boston, right? That then failed and
bankrupt.
And then there was like lawsuits against the government and all that shit. Great game. Everybody should play.
But Perfect Dark and all of these games that we remember from the earlier days of, I'd like to see them all come back. Why not?
Well, what's interesting is Shane's like, shouldn't they be working on a new IP? We've seen how hard it is to get people attached to a new IP, and that's why it's interesting to treat Fable like a new IP of like, okay, we're taking the Fable name and giving it to a studio that doesn't make these kind of games but has an idea for Fable, right? So it's going to, I feel like it's going to have that juice and that feel in the same way that like our interest in Fable petered out, right? Because it seemed like they're just iterating and doing the same thing.
Petered out, that was good.
Molyneux'd out, because they just keep iterating on it and it's not that revolutionary, blah, blah, blah. To have a brand new Fable from a studio that's going to be like, hey, we have no attachment to anything other than we want to make a Fable game. That could be interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. In other interesting news, Greg Way. Number three on the Roper Report, Earthbound fans are making a book about how much they want Mother 3. This is via IGN, I thought it was really funny. Earthbound fans are working on a new book chronicling years of waiting for a Western release of Mother 3. Titled, Come On Nintendo, Give Us Mother 3. The book is coming to Fangamer in late 2018 and chronicles years of waiting for the follow-up to Nintendo's beloved quirky RPG. Quote, today asking Nintendo to translate Mother 3 has become a huge running joke. It's even been featured on national televisions and parodied by top Nintendo executives, the book's description reads. But how did hope for a simple game translation blow up into something this big? Rumors, hype, letdowns, and lies. This is the story of the most wanted game translation ever. That's a funny idea.
I gotta say, this is a subject I don't know too much about. I mean, I know what Earthbound is, but what is Mother 3?
It's a game in the Earthbound franchise that people want to come over here.
So it's been made, but only in Japan.
Exactly. And it's never been localized. And they talk to Reggie all the time. And I think last time the quote was something to the effect of, kindoffun.com/you're wrong, by the way. It was something to the effect of, there's a lot of issues or something. Kevin, get me the quote from Reggie about Mother 3. But it was something about it's more complicated than you think kind of thing.
I imagine it is, because it seems like localizing a game like that would be relatively easy to do. And there'd be a lot of fan goodwill, clearly, if they could do it.
Sure. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it ever happens, but just in general.
So was it a Super NES title like the original Earthbound?
I believe so, but now I'm not the Nintendo guy.
Okay.
Kevin is looking into it. He'll let us know eventually. Here we go. Reggie offers hope. This is from Nintendo Life. Reggie,
talk to me in a year and let's look back. And that was, look at that. It was almost exactly a year ago.
There you go. Scroll
13th
down.
Of January, 2017.
Speaking of GameSpot, Reggie saw a question about Mother 3 coming and tackled other... So earlier today, I got asked about Mother 3. Maybe you can ask me about Metroid. Look, again, I am proud as an executive with Nintendo to say that we look at all of the boards and all of the comments, and we have a really good understanding of what our consumers want. And believe me, we take it to heart as we work to create content. So I have nothing to announce here, but we are aware... that there are some key IP that consumers just can't wait for the next true installment in that franchise's legacy. Suffice to say, we're aware of it, and talk to me in a year, and let's look back and see what's happened.
Well, he gave that quote 1 year and 4 days ago.
Oh my God, Reggie,
so I feel like it's time for you guys to get your journalist hats on.
Yeah,
me? And hit him up. Yeah,
you work here too. You ring him
I'm
up.
I'm not a journalist.
Neither am I. Really,
I come in here. I do my job for an hour and I'm gone.
I can't. Well, I'll get Cool Greg to call Reggie. And
I think
we'll
see you should
happens.
Get one of your guys to call Reggie and say, "Hey, remember said call us back in a year? It's been a year." And Reggie's gonna be like, "God damn, you guys are on the ball."
He's like, "God, Cool Greg, how'd you get this number?" Yeah. Number four, final item on the Roper Report for today. YouTube has changed how it's going to monetize, or monetization rules, I guess. This is via Gizmodo. It applies to a lot of you. I've seen people talking about it in our communities. But the new monetization strategy doesn't so much as appease those worried about policy violations as it signals to small creators that they simply aren't worth the trouble to the tech giant. Under the new guidelines, channels will need to have 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours of watch time within the last year to be eligible for receiving ad revenue. Previously, uploaders needed just 10,000 total views to run ads in their videos. All Google preferred channels will also now be manually reviewed, with ads only running on videos that have been approved. Enforcement of these guidelines will start February 20th.
Is this continued fallout from the Logan Paul debacle?
Yeah, that's what people are attaching it to, but this obviously doesn't affect that in any way.
But why squeeze the small creators?
I don't know I haven't heard the reasoning behind
this. I understand why you'd want to have closer scrutiny of videos that are going out on the big, big channels.
Yeah.
But these little guys are just trying to make a nickel. What's going on there?
Well, I mean, you make a nickel, it's going to take you a long time.
Well, it is now. Yeah. Even 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours of watch time within the last year to be eligible. So that gets you on the ad revenue train.
Yeah.
Do you then have to sustain that? Like, would you have to do 4,000 hours of watch time a year? Or if you didn't do it 4,000 hours of watch time in the ensuing year, would they then say, well, we're going to pull the ads now?
Yeah, I would assume it's a yearly basis, right? Channels will need to have 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 hours of watch time within the last year. It doesn't say like in 2017, it says in the last year to be eligible. So
So you're an expert on this. How high a bar? I understand what 1,000 subscribers is, but 4,000 hours of watch time over the course of a year, is that a particularly high bar to have to reach?
Yes, no. I mean, it depends. The thing about it is you can still get on YouTube, you can still create the videos, right? I think having the bar where it was before, right, of previously uploaders needed just 10,000 total views to run ads in their videos, even that is going to take time, obviously, but it seemed more attainable than this does off the bat, because there are so many YouTube channels that when you get going, you want to monetize right away, you want to start seeing a reward, you want to start seeing progress, and this just sets it a little bit further. Now, but Tim was talking about this off camera and the fact of, like, when he started on YouTube, right, it was a way different, it was even more complicated to get on there, and so over the years, they've made it easier and easier, and this is the first time maybe in a while they've actually gone in the opposite direction of, like, let's make it a little bit tougher to be on here and get the ad revenue and do all this work.
So, for example, let's say I'm trying to kind of put a human face on this. Let's say there's someone who's a small-time YouTube creator.
That's why I put this in here, because a lot of our audience, a lot of the Kind of Funny Best Friends do their own YouTube channels, and they are small.
Let's say someone has 900 subscribers and gets about 3,500 hours of watch time a year.
Yeah.
So they would have been getting ad revenue prior to this new arrangement.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much that would have been. Again, if it's that little, probably not a lot of money, but something, right?
Yeah, it would have taken forever. Right? Money? I always talk about it, like, you know, when we started youtube.com/gameovergreggy, when I started it, but Tim and Nick were filming and Colin was on the shows with me and stuff. Like, it took us, I think, 3 months to get the first $100 check, $200 check or something.
Like, but this wouldn't affect anyone for whom YouTube revenue is something they rely on, right? Because you'd have to be over that, way over this number for it to be money that you're actually paying the rent with.
Phil DeFranco isn't sweating this change. Kind of Funny isn't sweating this change. It doesn't affect us in that way.
Right.
But it just is a thing of, like, all right, they're making it a little bit tougher to get everybody in there. And I don't know, it's being equated with the changes because of, like, Logan Paul and stuff like that, but that it doesn't make sense, right? That he's on such a different level than anybody down here trying to do it. I would think this is just more for, let's try to simplify our accounting. How much money are we actually making off of these people, right? Of, like,
maybe they felt like they were getting nickel and dime by all these little creators that were running ads.
It wasn't even worth it. Yeah. Like, I'm sure they looked at charts and like, what is the cost benefit analysis of this? And I would assume that it nets out that people who are below 1,000 subscribers, people who are below 4,000 hours of watch time, even if you lump them all together, their AdSense revenue isn't worth keeping this around.
But I did, so I did see, before I understood the context of it this morning, I saw in my Twitter timeline a couple of tweets about, you know, small YouTube creators having this was a bad day for them. So mm-hmm. it seems like, you know, anytime anybody changes anything, there's a backlash.
Of course. But more than anything, it's demoralizing.
Right.
Imagine if you were, you know, you were getting so close to the, I needed 10,000 views to run my ads. Oh my gosh, I'm at 8,500. I'm at 5,000 or whatever. Yeah. You're getting close. You feel like you're making progress. And now the finish line, the bar just moved out a bit
more. I would suggest that having that earlier, having the lower bar, and again, even if it is just, you know, $3 here, $5 there, whatever, it's not, you know, it's pocket money. It's not, you know, quit your job money, but it's something. And I would suggest that having that low bar where you get that first check, even if it's only for like $20, $30, is enough of an incentive to go, holy shit, I got a check for $20. Like, maybe I should make another video or try a little bit harder to do even more. What could I get if I really apply myself? That first little, you know, everyone remembers like
your
first
gold star. Yeah.
The first check
here
from their first job that they ever had or whatever. Like, I feel like if you get that earlier, you're more likely to nurture people that would go on to be, well, I mean, hopefully not the next Logan Paul, but like
good creators that make
content people like, and reach a wide audience, that incentivize them early. But if you're just banging your head against a brick wall and you've got like 900 subscribers, 3,000 hours of watch time, that seems like you're putting in some real effort to get that.
Yeah.
But they're still not paying you anything. You might just give up. I streamed on Twitch for a little while last year when I was really playing a lot of PUBG.
Yeah.
And I got like an $80 check from Twitch because I put in a bunch of hours and they made me feel. I was like, if I didn't already have a day job, I might have said, holy shit, like, what happens if I do double that?
Right.
What happens if I get, you know, even more subscribers?
Sure.
And, you know, that might have compelled me to go on and have a career as a Twitch streamer, because that first check, we go, it makes it real. We go, oh shit, there actually is money. It's not a lot, but like there is, and I know there is more. I'm going to apply myself even more and put more effort into my channel.
What's interesting, right, is that's all 100% correct.
Like, how many potential YouTube creators that might have grown into something great will now be put off because where they would have got that check, they never did an early kind of gestational level.
Here's where I bet YouTube's argument is. And I saw somebody else tweet about this morning. I can't remember. I wanted to give it to Boogie, but it wasn't Boogie, I don't think. Is the idea that if you, I feel like with you with writing, right, with me with doing the YouTube stuff, or creators in general.
Yeah.
If it's in you to create, if it is in you that you want to do this, you're going to fucking do it, right?
Like, that's true. And you shouldn't be doing it just because you're chasing a check. And I get that.
And I feel like the YouTube argument here is the fact that they think, first off, obviously in dollars and cents and all that stuff, but also for their creators, right? That if you're a creator and you're all in on this, you're going to do this and you're going to push until you hit this thing, and it's not even going to be about that. But also the fact that if you do all this, maybe they are eliminating the people who are making content that isn't as great. Maybe this is going to lead to people making better content or trying different content. Or because, like, it's even interesting to see, this is something they've been pushing to for a while, but making watch time more valuable than subscribers. Three VidCons ago,
right,
YouTube started talking really about, it's about watch time. It's not about how big your subs are. It's about how long you're engaging with your audience.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And so I would think that this speaks to that as well, in terms of, all right, cool, we're not just trying to get people to put up Vine compilations and fart videos or something. We want them to actually say something. Because there is, I don't even, Tim would know it off the top of his head, but there's all, you know how it's like, there's X thousands of hours uploaded to YouTube every minute. There's some ridiculous stat about how much content is actually going into YouTube, and it's impossible to quality control it. So you figure if you want to be, if you're YouTube and you want to make the content creators who are making a living at this, or want to make a living at this, better content creators, you have to change the rules in their focus, I would assume. I would just suggest
that thinking about this as a creator of content, and you obviously know this as well as I do, that we all go through an existence of of self-doubt.
Oh yeah, doubt's
and,
a big
know,
part
we're
of
not,
it.
Nobody really wants this stuff that I'm writing or making. Yeah. Like, you know, you're looking for validation, but you're constantly beating yourself. This stuff's no good. And YouTube comments and page views and things, but hey, I really enjoyed this last, you know, like yeah. and subscribe.
Yeah.
Those are obviously all parts of the validation. But again, I don't mean this in like a mercenary way, but even just getting a check, that's a validation. Well, holy shit, my stuff sure. has somebody, like if you have like an Etsy store or whatever, like the first time somebody buys something off of your store, right. you go, oh shit, they like me. Somebody yeah, likes yeah, yeah. me. So getting that check, again, even if it's just for a nominal amount, I would suggest that is a really important piece of the puzzle in terms of validating and encouraging and nurturing 100%. New creators
to
keep
going. I'm not taking that away.
Going. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know if this is going to help or hinder.
I think it'll be interesting to see if it, you know, separating wheat from chaff and all that jazz, but like, I can tell you firsthand how hard it is to get somebody to click the fucking subscribe button, right? Like, yeah. we had a campaign to finally push ourselves over 230 on games because it was like, people don't think about it. They pop in, they consume the content, and they leave. And now, for a small YouTube channel, how you're going to motivate those people to get those 1,000 people to stick around.
But the argument about page views and watch time being more valuable than subscribers is true. Like, I have subscribed to channels in the past because I want to support them,
yeah.
but I don't watch. It doesn't yep. mean I watch them. I'm now subbed up, and I go to my subscriptions channel. I see just all the, but millions. I don't yeah. watch the videos. But I've lent them my support.
Yeah,
I would be much more valuable to lend them my support by actually watching the videos.
Sure,
but I mean, yeah, just because right? I'm like, subscribed to a channel doesn't mean that I'm a set of eyeballs for your ads.
Oh yeah, totally. You figure we're the same thing, right? Where we push. All right, cool. We push past to 130,000 on YouTube for Kind of Funny Games. But you look at our views, right? And like what? Like Games Daily's doing like 30,000 views. It ranges based on headlines. But like, you know, we're not doing 230,000 views on every video,
right?
But it's because the sub number matters to people. The watch time matters to people. All these different vanity numbers matter to who you're talking to or advertisers or whatever. It's why I always beg people, if they're in the car listening to the show or, you know, wherever they get the podcast, or if they're watching on Twitch, to also click over and subscribe to the channels. Even though that's not how you'll ever consume the content, that number does matter on a spreadsheet when we're putting out, trying to express. But every time somebody asks me how big the Kind of Funny audience is, I'm like, ugh, how do you, well, it's confusing. Let's talk about it. Because, you know, I think it's because of my lineage of being a podcaster from GameScoop and beyond, and obviously everything else, the fact that the overwhelming majority of people consume the content as a MP3.
And is so, that right?
Yeah. So that number, which is like not promoted anywhere, or you can go to SoundCloud and get a taste of it, but not every number, is way bigger than our views. And like, we're super successful at the audio, but then people look at the YouTube and then there's this balance, but then it also doesn't matter because they know that our audience is so engaged. And when I say, hey, I love Blue Apron, they actually do the Blue Apron. It's like, it's a whole rigmarole.
I told you before, when I came on here back in the days when this was just in your spare bedroom,
yeah,
the early days of Kind of Funny, when I came and unplugged my book.
Mm-hmm. Book was that again? Abomination,
which you can get for $1 now. Go to my pinned tweet at Gary Witter and it will give you all the information you need.
Okay.
And I say that in full confidence that will actually get me some
you
sales.
You know it will.
Because when I came on and plugged the book,
yeah.
The website for my publisher, I can go into like the author dashboard and yeah. see all the metrics for where traffic was directed from.
Oh, sure.
And I had a lot of people come in from Kind of Funny and bought that.
Dude, that...
Probably the single biggest block of... like if you had to say, well, this is very specifically referred to from one source, Kind of Funny was probably the biggest single source of like people that actually went and bought the book. Than any other source.
The audience of best friends we have is so insanely awesome in the way that they know we don't promote trash. We don't just have anybody on to talk about it. If you come on the show, you're a friend, right? And they want to take care of their friends. And usually they're interested in what their friends are doing. My friend, Danny Mack, right? He did the movie Heel Kick that I'm in and co-produced, right? He just did his Game Over Greggy show. It's live on Patreon now. It'll be live for everybody on Friday. Heel Kick is being supported by so many of the best friends that right now it's number 7 overall on iTunes pre-orders.
Oh, wow.
Like it's next to like Star Wars and all these different movies up there. And it's like, that's fucking crazy.
You're a kingmaker. You have the power
I'm not. They're kingmakers. I just get to bring in people who are doing cool shit
But you get to decide what they are exposed to.
Sure.
You're the gatekeeper.
I expose myself to them all the time. Greg Miller, he had funds at both ends. All right, Gary, I'm excited for Red Dead Redemption 2, but it is nowhere to be seen. We don't know when it's coming out.
God damn it.
If I wanted to know, What was coming to the digital mom and shop, grop shop, bop sops? Where would I go?
I'm glad you asked me this question, by the way, because when I did the show last week with Tim, he did this bit himself.
We got to get you to start doing the you're wrongs, too. Remember, that was the thing.
Am I supposed to do the you're wrongs?
Yeah, I'll do it on our last show. Yeah, somebody called me.
I'll do it today if you
it.
Want. The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah! I hold it sometimes for Kevin because I know he's not there yet, but he's going to be there because he's big Kev dog. We love
you him. Should get someone, one of your best friends out there, to take that little jingle that you just kind of did a cappella style and make it like actually set, like instrumentalize it and make it a real thing.
Sounds great. Put it out there.
Sure, do it. Okay, do it, everybody. We give you permission to make that, and then Kevin will eventually
just
get a
soundboard. Just do it one more time so they've got a baseline?
No, I do it every show. I do it every show. There's been plenty of them, all right? Out today, Full Metal Furies on Xbox One and PC.
What is that? Don't know what it is.
I don't know it well. I remember, did it already come to Switch? Was it coming? I thought there was something more about Switch about it, but it's a game that's out right now.
When I first read it, I scanned it as Full Metal Furries, and I was way more interested.
That was a way more better title, I think. Yeah, exactly. Star Drone is on PlayStation VR, and then 2064 Read Only Memories is coming to Xbox One, a game I enjoyed quite a bit. That is another... I guess visual novel is what you would call
one
that,
of those.
Right? Yeah, but okay. It's like it's set here. It's in Neo San Francisco in 2064, and there's you're a detective, right? Yeah, or a reporter. No, you're a reporter. Played it, you know. Full disclosure, last year was one, or no, not even like right. I mean, it might have been 2016 that I played.
So it's
it,
a port
it
to Xbox.
Yeah,
One?
Yeah. Okay. It's been on PlayStation forever. I think all right. PC before then.
I'll check it out.
Friends of the show, Xavier Woods, he's in it. I think I'm gonna stop there. There's other people in it, but it's been a long time. Like I said. New dates for you. I don't know if this is a new date, but I don't remember hearing about it, and it's now imminent. Metal Gear Survive beta is starting tomorrow, and then it's running through the 22nd. I think we knew those dates, but just a friendly reminder.
That could be interesting. How much have we seen of that Metal Gear Survive?
I played at E3. IGN's been doing a whole bunch of coverage on it. I think they have like a bunch of exclusive stuff on it. I saw Alana tweet today that there were some things she liked and a lot of things she didn't.
Is it like a horde mode shooter? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like, well, there's a single player component to it that I haven't heard about or played. Then there's a multiplayer portion of it that I did play where it is, you have a base and you got to build like walls around it, and he's like... waves of zombies are coming at them, and you got to shoot them in their little head. But they're
so kind of like Fortnite.
Yeah, but it's not like comical Fortnite. But it is like, hey, gather resources to make a chain link
fence. And you play cooperatively as a team. Okay, could be good.
It could be. Monster Hunter World is set to receive a day one patch, which will add a few new features, most notably, according to IGN, the arrival of series staple poogies, which again are just pigs. But as usual, Monster Hunter refuses to call pigs pigs and cats cats. They got to give them all crazy names. You going to play any of this Monster Hunter World?
I've never played a Monster Hunter game.
They are enjoyable. I find myself day after day getting a little more excited about Monster Hunter World.
I mean, it's huge in Japan, right? It's a huge deal.
Yeah, big deal, yeah. So you should maybe play it with me. We'll go out there. We'll fight some monsters.
Okay. I'm not really into monster fighters, but I'll look at it.
This is hunting. We're not fighting them. We're hunting them.
Yeah. Okay.
They're just out there trying to live. We want to fuck them up.
All right.
They might have eaten a sheep or something like that. And then on February 1st, Xbox Games Pass is adding NBA 2K17, WWE 2K17, Halo Wars 2, Darksiders 2 Definitive Edition, because you can't get away from this game, Fable Anniversary, Rhyme, Riptide Renegade GP, and Letter Quest, Grimm's Journey.
That's actually quite a good lineup.
Games Pass is awesome.
Yeah, and it's funny, after reading about Fable at the top of the show, I was just thinking, like, I'd kind of like to go back and kind of revisit Fable. Maybe Fable Anniversary is how it is. What is that, like a remaster of the original one or something?
I do not know what Fable Anniversary was. I would think so. I
mean, our ignorance is really showing this week.
Hey man, my entire career has been covering PlayStation, and this is like all of a sudden we're like, hey, let's talk about Xbox.
Let's talk about Nintendo and Xbox. Yeah,
kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. You can tell me what Fable Anniversary is because Kevin stepped away from his computer.
I think it's a remaster of the first game.
I think so too, but I'm not prepared to say that and confirm that.
It's something I should know, but I don't.
Should you know it? Should we know that? Are you expected to know every anniversary?
I mean, you know, I'm not full time games person anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just a punter.
You just show.
See, there you go. Another, use it in a sentence. See, I'm just a punter now.
Nice.
Technically, it means a gambler. A punter is somebody like to punt. You know, it's kind of like, you know, in the sport, you know, you're like a punt. You don't really know what's going to end up.
Okay. That's the game.
But in England, to be a punter technically means to be a gambler, like on horses or, you know, in sports betting or whatever. But it's over the years, the application of it has widened to mean just consumer, customer, man in the street. Just a regular person who buys things.
Speaking of a regular person who buys thing, it's time for Reader Mail, and I'm going to tell you it's brought to you by kindoffunny.com/store. But rather than read an ad, I'll read my dog Nick, 96, from Massachusetts, who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to say, "Hello, Greg and Gary. I wanted to write in about your sponsor, the Kind of Funny Store. As a testimony, I wore the party mode shirt to a concert this past weekend, and it was a hit. I got a couple of compliments on it, and all my friends thought it fit the event so well. Not only did it represent my support, but people who did not know Kind of Funny also appreciated it. I'm checking off the box that says, okay to print. Thanks for the content, rain or shine, OBS dead or alive, the show goes on. My dog Nick, 96. Hashtag party on.
One thing that I will say is I think your t-shirt designs are very good.
All Andy Cortez.
I particularly like the Street Fighter one. The one made up in the Street Fighter logo style.
Yeah. We got to get you a whole bunch. You only have a Games Daily shirt, right?
Yes, but I would love to have a full set.
I'll get you the designs. What size are you again?
Well, let's talk about that off the air. Okay, it's fine, less embarrassing.
A medium.
I'm a medium. Yes, I do like them. The Games Daily one's really good. I should get at least a couple more of those because I like to wear them when I go on other podcasts, I wear that to promote it.
Yeah, you do.
I'm not doing it today, but like when I've been on here before, I wore the Spawn on Me podcast t-shirt. Yeah. And then when I go to Tested or IGN, I'll wear Kind of Funny.
Yeah.
And so you just spread the love.
Yeah, exactly.
Cross pollination.
It's a cinematic universe of podcasts. I like that.
Dynamic marketing. I just made that up, but it sounds
guerrilla
real.
Guerrilla marketing. Yeah,
it sounds like a real thing, right?
It sounds real. Gary?
Yes, Greg?
I'm going to start with some questions that are directed to you. Daniel B. writes in and says, "Greetings, Greg and Gary. In honor of Widow Wednesday and to encourage non-Nintendo-related questions, I have a question for Gary. Gary mentioned in the past he once worked for PC Magazine when they used to ship out the demo discs with the magazine. First off, has he ever seen a show called Demo Disc? It's done by Funhouse. Did Gary ever have a hand in picking what demos went on those discs? Demos seem to be making a comeback as of late, as I see many are available on the Xbox Store. I'm glad to see them back. Love what you do. Please come back to RTX Australia again, or just come visit anytime. Kind of Funny Vids goes down under. Has a great ring to it. Gary, have you ever seen Funhouse content?
I haven't, no.
Good, you have taste. I like that. Secondly, did you ever play into what went on the demo disc?
I mean, really? So this is bringing back some very painful memories for me because filling up those demo discs every month was not easy.
Yeah.
The company that I worked for back in the day, Future Publishing and by extension, Imagine Media, was founded. You want to do a quick history lesson?
I do.
Was founded by a man named Chris Anderson, who now operates and runs the TED Talks.
Oh, the TED Talks. Okay.
He's a big guy in kind of world media now. But he started as a little kind of provincial publishing guy. He was the editor of Zap 64 magazine when that launched, and then went off and started his own company, Future Publishing. And that started with a magazine called Amstrad Action, which I believe was their first magazine.
Okay.
And Chris pioneered, I think, like music magazines had put like those flexi discs and things and cassette tapes on the front in the past. But he pioneered putting cassette tapes on the front of magazines that you could, you know, put in the in your computer at home and run programs, and they'd have demo programs and stuff, and later floppy disks. It became very popular in other magazine publishers. Was this a thing here? Do you used to get magazines that had floppy disks on the front?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, PlayStation used to put it out.
Yeah, well, it was certainly a big thing in the UK. I mean, before it became CDs, CD-ROMs, and then DVDs, and then the internet took that away entirely.
Yeah, ripped it all.
But, you know, it started off as cassette tapes and then 3.5-inch floppy disks. Yeah. And we had one disc in the corner and it became really popular. Then we started doing two. And then we ended up, by the time I was done, we had three floppy disks on the corner of the magazine. So you had to design your cover art around this weird L shape.
Weird L space
the discs occupied. And it was a real, later when PC Gamer US, we had a disc editor who for the longest time was a guy named Michael Wolff. Not the guy who wrote the Trump book, but another Michael Wolff. Although that would be hilarious.
That'd be interesting crossover. I'm done putting these discs out. I better go be a journalist.
My friend Michael, who now works at Xbox, but he used to be our disc editor. And it was his job, before his, it was mine, to, as well as filling up the magazine, you had to fill up these fucking discs every month.
So how did you do it?
Okay, so it was a combination of demos for upcoming games And, you know, it was also a source of irritation for people at game developers, because not only did they have to make the game.
Yeah, try to finish the game, but also make this demo.
Someone in marketing or publishing would say, you know, you've got to do this disc demo for PC Gamer or whatever magazine it was that was asking for it. And they would carve out like the first level of the game or whatever and would put it on the disc. But would also do, you know, remember the days of shareware?
Yeah.
Where you could get, so like back in the day when you were playing like Jill of the Jungle or fucking Jazz Jackrabbit was like the cool shit in PC gaming back in the day, you would get those through, you know, bulletin boards and mail order and stuff. But our magazines became a really great way to distribute shareware, like the first level of, you know, remember Doom was originally, Castle Wolfenstein was originally shareware.
Yeah.
It was free. You got the first level and then you could buy the whole game. And we became like a big distribution channel for, and people would come to us, oh my God, can we get our indie game or our shareware thing, our demo, whatever, on your disc, because it would be good exposure. So as it became more popular, it became easier and we were turning stuff down.
Yeah.
But for a long time, it was like really hard to kind of make sure those discs felt like they were full of value, and even harder when it got into CD-ROM, you know, because then now suddenly you've got DVDs, you've suddenly got to fill more and more stuff up. And then we just got to a point where the internet broke through and there was no need for discs. Discs became kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because all of this stuff was just available immediately.
Click of a button right there, yeah.
But those, I mean, those were halcyon days. I remember them very well, trying to fill up those discs. And I seem to remember we had a couple of really cool coups. We were talking about Peter Molyneux at the top of the show, and we had a Christmas-ish. I used to run a magazine called The One. It was originally called The One for 16-bit games, and later just became The One.
That's
for,
good
for the Amiga, because the ST and the PC kind of went off in a different direction. We focused on the Amiga. But one year, I remember we had a Christmas special, and we got Dave Gibbons, as you know, co-creator of Watchmen, to draw our cover art.
Yeah.
And he did this crazy Santa Claus guy with a machine gun. And Peter Molyneux and Bullfrog, as it was at the time, created a game exclusively for us called Psycho Santa.
And we based got that, on that drawing?
Yeah, and we got it on the disc. No, I think it was the other way around. Peter wanted to create the game.
Yeah.
And Dave did it. We just gave Dave's brief was Psycho Santa.
Yeah, yeah.
And he went and went, I'll go and find an image for it somewhere. It was like this whole kind of Defender Stargate kind of game, but with Santa and his sleigh. And he's dropping presents into chimneys and fighting off the bad guys. So like every now and again, we got like a really cool piece of content, but we mostly filled those discs up with shareware and game demos.
Yeah.
And again, now that it just seems so primitive, the idea of shareware.
Of course.
You know, we came, it was so exciting to download, you know, a crappy game demo over, you know, our 56K modem or whatever. And now, of course, it's a different universe entirely.
Now, speaking of internet, Kevin, what's wrong? Internet die again?
Died again.
Okay.
Restart the modem.
Okay. But we're just going to keep doing the show.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
So this is not going out right now?
Yeah, it'll go up for YouTube and podcast services.
But Twitch
again.
Is not getting anything right
no,
now.
No, they're not. Because Comcast continues to beat us over the head with hate.
Can you not get Sonic out here yet?
I don't know. I was asking yesterday.
You got to look into it because I switched to Sonic.
Yeah.
Man, yeah. Way better. Okay. Cheaper and better.
I'll look into it. Eric from Canada writes in and says, hey guys. And this is another question for you.
Okay.
I know Greg doesn't really care about those sweet, sweet 4K graphics, but Gary has an Xbox One and a 4K TV, and I'm just curious if he's gone back and replayed a game just because it updated to look better. Forza Horizon 3 just got the 4K update, and I'm tempted to jump back into the Australian Outback. Thanks for being so gosh darn entertaining, Eric. Have you gone back with your Xbox One, or are you just playing stuff going forward?
I did. It is true to say that I think when I look at the games that I have played on Xbox One X recently, I have favored the ones that make the full use of the X. Because I paid for this fucking thing. I want to get the best out of it. That's not to say I won't play other games. You know, if it's not in 4K, don't come talk to
Fuck
me.
Fuck that, I don't want to
like,
play.
I'll tell you what I've been playing recently.
Lay it on me.
You know what's really fun? Have you played Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. What a fun game.
Yeah.
We had the whole family playing it.
That's awesome.
Four players.
Yeah.
And that's not optimized, but it's still a hugely fun game. But I did go back and play. I've been playing. I know this is not particularly viewed as a good game, but I've been enjoying Need for Speed Payback.
Okay.
Just driving around, you know, doing my thing, doing some crimes.
Doing some crimes.
And that's. I'm not sure if it's 4K, but I think it's in HDR at least. And I played some Forza Horizon 3, because I know that had got an HDR update out of the gate when the One X came out. I didn't know it had been updated to 4K, so I probably will go check that out, because I'm still in that mode of
try everything, get a look at.
Well,
it,
not just try
like.
Everything, but like the 4K graphics are, You know, like when HD games came out, you went, holy shit.
Yeah.
And then, but now it's just what you take for granted.
That's how it is, yeah.
I'm still in the holy shit phase. For 4K games are phenomenally good looking on a big screen.
Sure.
But what the guys, is it true you don't care about 4K graphics? You're not that bothered?
I mean, I don't have a 4K TV. So it's like.
I thought you did.
Nah. I got a big old TV I love, but I don't worry about it. So it's just okay. Like, I got the Pro and I got the X, but I'm seeing.
You have a Pro and an X, but not a 4K TV.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's like having a Blu-ray player, but watching it on an old, you know, tube television.
It's not that big of a jump.
No, it is.
It's not that big of a jump, everybody.
HDR is supposed to be.
So you don't even know, Kev. I've seen things at Tim's house. It looks fine. Go ahead.
You watch him play games?
I don't remember.
Or did you just watch? I think Planet
we watched
Earth,
WWE. Like,
we need to get you. We need to get you
over a 720p stream
4K content because I think the scales will.
We
fall
need
from
somebody
your
to
eyes.
Start sending in TVs. You know, I got married. I moved in. The government won't let my wife work. I'm not about to go like and now drop $2,000 on a fucking TV for just because I want to see a little bit more Sharpie pixels, see a hair bounce around or something. Next Christmas may be a different story. Yeah, we'll see.
Wait, aren't you guys married?
Yeah.
Doesn't she then have a green card?
Oh, you wish it worked that flawlessly here in the United States. That's a story for another time.
Okay.
But yeah.
Get a 4K TV.
I will eventually, I know. I want to get I like this one here a lot. I should just steal.
That is a good one.
Wait, is this 4K, Kev?
No, we never use it in 4K, but it is.
I mean, this stopwatch I'm looking at looks brilliant. 4K.
It's actually 1080.
Techno Al writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, less of a question, more of a comment I didn't know where to put. You keep mentioning that you won't get trophies from early access games. This strictly isn't true, I don't think. Slime Rancher on Xbox Early Access gave me about 16 different achievements when I put the game on the day it came out of early access. Is there any reason to assume PUBG won't do the same? Technoel, that's a great point that I did not know.
Wait, so can you not get achievements in PUBG right now?
Correct. There are no achievements in PUBG as it is early access. Okay. And I assume that, to what he's saying, that was the same case with Slime Rancher, which I was unaware of, but it seems
good thing I don't particularly care about trophies.
Well, yeah, PUBG is just fun to play, so it doesn't matter. And that was my takeaway. And Slime Rancher I've looked at, I know of. It makes sense that, yeah, if they don't wipe the servers coming out of early access, if the trophy or the achievement specifically, is get, you know, 100 kills or whatever, if it boots up and pings the server and sees you have 100 kills, that would make sense that those would all start popping off.
I know that games, you know, Microsoft and Sony have these rules that you've got to support.
Yeah.
You can't put an Xbox game out without achievements, right? You have to check that box and have that support.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that's like in their developer guidelines. If a PlayStation game were to come out, just hypothetically, and it was like the ultimate game, it pushed all your buttons. It was just like probably your game of the year.
Right.
But it didn't have any trophy support at all. Would that color your view of it? Would you feel like you were wasting your time playing it, even though you're enjoying the game, but you weren't? I'm still trying to get to the bottom of this psychosis.
I would harp on it a lot for not having. I mean, first off, it's a similar thing with PlayStation where they have to have trophies for a full release game.
Yes, I'm saying that both of those force the trophies.
Even like
on
when PUBG comes, if PUBG was to come to PlayStation right now and be early access, like Fortnite is or whatever,
yeah,
and like have no trophies, like the Fortnite Battle Royale mode doesn't have, I'd still play and enjoy it.
Okay,
yeah, I'm not that crazy. I would be like, this fucking sucks. Why can't I get trophies? I want to play it. No. I hope that when trophies come to this game, they all ping out.
Through asking you this series of Voigtkamp questions, I will eventually.
I'm like the Rubik's Cube.
I'm going to narrow it down to exactly what your issue is.
I respect that. I respect that quite a bit.
What else you got?
I don't know. Well, these questions are good, but I don't think they need to be answered. So we're going to move on and squad up. Ladies and gentlemen, squad up is where you write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in video games. I read it here. The best friends come and find you. Everybody plays games together and has a good old time. Today, Alex needs help on Xbox One X. His name, Killer Yoda 1985, all one word. Hey, Greg, and my fellow Brit Gary.
Him already.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking for Kind of Funny best friends to squad up in readiness for Monster Hunter World dropping. I'm desperate to sink my teeth into a decent game after the holiday drought, and it would be awesome to go monster slaying with the best friends. Thanks from Blustery England, Killer Yoda, 1985. Everybody, go befriend Killer Yoda, 1985.
Do I want to play Monster Hunter World?
You do. I'm telling you. Just try it with me. I don't know if we're going to like it.
But I'm going to have to play it on PlayStation, aren't I?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time.
Is that a bad thing?
Well, I mean, if it's on Xbox, I'd rather play it on Xbox. I like the controller better.
They got that. We saw they put out that Nika. Somebody just put out is putting out a PlayStation 4 controller that looks just like the Xbox One controller.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Because they've heard, they know there's an audience there.
Right, right. Well, there is. I would get that.
Are you ready for your first ever kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong?
Oh, you want me? I'm doing it. Okay. Yeah. All right.
What we ask you, ladies and gentlemen, to do, if you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, when the internet works, fuck you, Comcast. Oh, it's working right now? Good. But still, fuck you, Comcast. We ask you to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody listening on podcast services and watching on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames later. Now, you need to be very judicious here.
Because
a lot of kids write in, they editorialize.
I can see that.
Okay, okay.
So I'm seeing it right in front of me.
Cherry pick. You're on your throne now. You don't have to read everybody.
Some of these are referring not to today's episode.
I hate that.
Okay. Greg only said, well, this is actually a good one. You'll like this. It's a you're wrong, but you'll be glad to be wrong.
Okay, good.
Greg said only small hoodie orders have shipped. My XL order shipped a few days ago.
No. I'm sorry. I must have rambled too long in there at the sentence. All of the, it doesn't matter the size of the hoodie. They're shipping. However, right now, last I checked, if you went to the store, you can only order a small hoodie right now. The rest are out because they just reordered a larger number because it was so successful.
Got it. Okay.
So there will be more soon.
If you're like in this business in particularly, like don't skimp on the XL and the double XL orders. That happens to me every time at the end of, you go around Comic-Con on a Sunday you try to get a bargain and whatever they left. They say, oh yeah, we've got the hoodies, we've only got small and medium left.
Yeah
of course, because nobody goes to Comic-Con is small or medium.
We're all fat nerds.
Yeah, we're all pretty, we're all fat nerds. Yeah. Like you got to double down on the XLs and the double XLs.
I hear you. Trust me. Like I wish merch was a easier nut to crack because it's always this where it's like, yeah, like, How many do you get? What's going to be successful? Is the Kevin Coelho bachelor party shirt?
Oof, and of course, I don't mean to generalize. Of course, there are plenty of people that fit the smalls and mediums at Comic Cons and those kind of events.
But
I'm saying is, if I had a booth at Comic Con,
that's all
you
bring.
E3 or whatever, and I'm doing my size orders, I'm probably going heavy on the XL and the double XLs.
Sure.
Because you see it every time. Oh yeah, it's the first one. Always the first one to sell out.
I always feel bad for the people who are like the 5XLs who write in and say, "Hey, I'd love to buy merch, but you don't sell it in my size." And I'm like, I understand. There's just not that many.
Okay,
5XLs buying.
Bit of pedantry. 30. You like pedantry?
Sure.
38 Studios was not in Boston. It was founded in Massachusetts, but its HQ was in Providence, Rhode Island.
Thank you.
Lawsuit was Rhode Island against 38 Studios.
I was happy that I could remember 38 Studios, that I could remember Kurt Schilling, and I could remember Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning all off the top of my head.
Filling in some of my knowledge gaps, Mother is the Japanese name for the Earthbound franchise.
Correct.
I actually didn't know that.
Oh, sorry.
And Mother 3 was on Game Boy Advance.
Mm, I didn't know that.
Released April 20th, 2006. Greg says he isn't a journalist. He has a journalism degree, therefore he is a journalist.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, in kind of funny land, I don't know if we're still journalists. As I post about my Nestle Crunch haul and then dress as Professor McGonagall. Somebody described this as infotainment yesterday.
That Reggie quote that you pulled up, according to Lord of Pwn here.
Lord of Pwn is good at the correction.
Was referring to Metroid.
Mm.
So that may have been a miscommunication.
He definitely has a quote about Mother 3 where he's like, it's complicated.
Mother 3 has an English fan translation that came out in 2008. It was made by Starmen.net. The translation itself is extremely well done and holds up to the standard of the very clever and quirky writing that Earthbound is infamous for. But you have to, resort to nefarious means. That's not a legitimate
translation. No, you're not putting the money in Nintendo's
pocket. You'd have to be a very naughty boy or girl.
Kevin really likes how you say naughty boy.
I really liked it. I guess a related piece of trivia to the YouTube conversation. YouTube... upload in terms of like what's incoming to YouTube, like uploads for them to put up.
Yeah,
300 hours every minute, or 432 hours a day.
Crazy.
It's astonishing, isn't it?
Yeah.
432 hours of content every day going up on YouTube.
You know who is ahead of the curve on this?
Who?
Brian Altano at IGN.
How so?
When I was reviewing Nobi Nobi Boy, it was quirky at the time when this PlayStation 3 game had a way to upload clips to YouTube. And I was talking to Brian about it on a podcast, and he described it as YouTube was becoming a trash planet where we all just fire off our trash clips to it. And here we are. Like Ragnarok, yes.
Full Metal Furies is a cooperative action RPG, putting the emphasis on team play with a unique combat system where everyone is important, work together to defeat special enemies, blah, blah, blah.
So it's Evolve. Great. That's going to go well.
Fable Anniversary
yeah.
is a 2014 remaster of the original, as we suspected, featuring updated models and textures, as well as the Lost Chapters content with new regions, quests, and enhanced story elements. To note, it is a remaster or an enhanced port, not a ground-up remake like Crash Insane was. But that's good gotcha. Enough for me. I'd probably play that.
Yeah, get on that Games Pass.
I would get back into the original Fable. I have fond memories of the original Fable. Just checking page two here to see if there's anything on here as well. That was from Kebabs.
Oh, good.
Thanks, Kebabs.
He spells it Kebabs, but...
Well, it's at the bottom in his signature, it says Kebabs sounds dumb. So he doesn't want you to say Kebabs.
I'm aware,
he wants you to say Kebabs.
I understand what he wants me to say, but I understand how he spelled it when he made this username. And so now he has to live with
yeah, it. Yeah, I agree. It's not clear, which is why you obviously felt the need to include that clarification.
There are repercussions to your actions. And the quicker we all learn that about your PSN name, about your usernames, and anywhere I know you, Kebabs.
Your YouTube, your internet's no good right now, Greg.
No, it's garbage, yeah. Is it just done?
Yeah,
done.
There's a second page, but I can't
it's
get
fine,
onto
don't
it.
Don't worry about it.
All right, so there may have been some interesting your wrongs there, but
no,
we'll never know. Thanks to Comcast.
Swish. We got to look in Sonic. If we can get him out here.
I think we have a contract with the...
Fuck them. I don't care if we have a contract
Pay the kill fee.
Yeah, if they you can't give me the goddamn internet for my internet business, that's trouble for me. Right.
That's not good.
That's very bad for me. Sonic, if you're watching, not the Hedgehog. Sonic, let me know. Hit me up.
Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen.
If they're doing this area yet, but... Good service.
Somebody's got to be around here. If you didn't know, you've been watching Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every week down a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. Thank you so much for watching and supporting the show. Remember, if you want to go that extra mile, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Kick us whatever you want, whatever you can. If you give us a buck right now, you'll get a party mode where I summon Satan. Tomorrow.
Is that Nidhogg?
Yeah, you saw the clip.
Did you just discover that game? Because it's so good.
Oh, no, we've been on the Nidhogg train for a while. We're
great
big Nidhogg
game.
Fans. Yeah,
great
yeah,
game.
Yeah. Tomorrow, Andrew Renee will join us. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
All right. Lights didn't go down.